thanks again for coming our way tonight. We've been hugely encouraged by the number who tuned in last night. Tonight we've got solos from Sarah and Helen, a message from Luke chapter 2, verse 7, from one of my close friends in ministry, Reverend Thomas Murray from Lurgan, and the story behind one of our most popular Christmas carols, Joy to the World, brought to us by a good friend of our congregation who attended our prayer meetings when he was studying down here at Queen's University, but who's now living in Ballymagorry, County Tyrone, and that is Scott McCarter. Sit back, listen, watch, and enjoy.
Boys and girls, I wonder what your favourite part of winter is. Maybe you like the food, maybe all the Christmas lights. Well, I love getting outside when it starts to snow and having a snowball fight, maybe a sleigh and go down a hill in some snow, or maybe you build a snowman just like my jumper. It's all good fun. But did you know that the Bible talks about snow? The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18 that though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And what that verse is teaching us is that even though we've sinned in our hearts, even though we've done things that let God down, maybe you're not very old, maybe you're only 4 or 5, maybe 6 or 7, we've all done things that have let God down and made God sad, and that's called sin. And what this verse tells us is if we come to him, if we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to take away our sins, that he'll do that. He promises he'll take away our sins and we will have a heart as white as snow. Maybe you can think of something that's been really dirty, and if you give it a good wash, it comes up nice and shiny, white and clean. Just like the colour of the snow, that nice, white, clean snow. And this is what the Bible teaches us will happen if we ask him to come and take our sins away. And then we can live our lives for him. And no matter what we do, no matter how much we let him down, the Bible promises that our sins are as white as snow. And because Jesus died for us, we will have an eternity with God because he is our Lord and Saviour. Maybe today you can come and ask him to be your Lord and Saviour, and he can take away the sin in your heart.
One of my favourite verses in the Bible comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 and 12. When I was a child, I speak as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. I heard these verses quoted many years ago in a movie I watched as a teenager and thought the words were lovely, but wondered where they came from and what they really meant. Years later, I bumped into friends I hadn't seen for a long time who had since become Christians. I still wasn't saved, and we began to meet regularly, and they would faithfully witness to me about the Lord. In the course of conversation, Trevor quoted 1 Corinthians 13, verses 11 and 12, and I really realised these verses had come from God's word. When I came to salvation, it was only then I began to understand the meaning of these verses. Down here, I've only a limited childlike understanding of what God has done for me. This is still enough to show me how much God's love is for me. But I know that one day when I stand before my Saviour, I will fully understand the height, the depth, and the breadth of his wonderful love. As the hymn says, we'll understand it better by and by.
Joyful World is a carol written by the great congregational hymn writer Isaac Watts, 1674 to 1748. It is based upon his meditations on Psalm 98, verse 4 of which reads, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, shout unto God with the voice of triumph." Verse 3 is based on the words of Genesis 3, 17 and 18, which detail God's curse upon Adam following the entrance of sin. The theme of this carol is the universal rule and reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are told that rocks and hills and floods and plains will rejoice at Christ's coming. May we, this Christmas, as we reflect upon these words, also rejoice not only at the first, but at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Eternal death, and people in the Old Testament had to continually find spotless animals to be sacrificed for forgiveness. But since then, God sent his perfect Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place once and forever. My verse is Hebrews 10 verse 5, where Jesus speaks to God his Father about coming to this earth and being born as a human baby. He said, "Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me."
We read in the Gospel of Luke concerning Mary in the chapter 2 in the verse 7. "And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." In recent times, there's been a lot of speculation about tax increases. The director of the Institute for Fiscal Studies has suggested that the basic tax rate might have to rise by 2 or 3% in order to pay for the debt amassed by coronavirus. As we come into the New Testament, we find a decree going forth requiring every Jew to register for the setting up of a new tax. As a consequence, the whole countryside began to move towards the little town of Bethlehem. Entering into its streets, Mary and Joseph began to make their way towards its centre. Coming to an inn, They were seeking a place where Christ might be born, a place where he might dwell. And the Lord Jesus Christ is still seeking a resting place, hearts where he might enter and where he might dwell. Indeed, he said in Revelation chapter 3 and in the verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him." He was seeking hearts where he might dwell, and more than that, where he might feast. A man one night seeking a hotel room, the clerk apologizing, he said, "I'm sorry, we have no rooms left." The man thought for a moment, and then he said to the clerk, "You mean to tell me that if the queen was to come tonight, that you have no room for the queen?" The clerk also thought for a moment or two, and he said, "No, we would have a room for the queen." The man, rather annoyed, he said to the clerk, "Well, I can tell you the queen in coming, so I will have her room." And sadly, many today, and they have room for business and they have room for pleasure, but they have no room for Christ, the crucified, in their lives or in their hearts. Daniel Webster Whittle asked, "Have you any room for Jesus, he who bore your load of sin?" As he knocks and asks admission, "Sinner, will you let him in?" As the Lord Jesus stands outside your heart's door knocking, will you let him in? Will you this Christmas make him your Lord and your Saviour? It is my prayer that you would do so. And so I want to consider these words for a moment. I want you simply to notice firstly the place. There being no room in the inn, we read in the verse 7, "She brought forth her firstborn son and laid him in a manger." In Bible times, the manger was but a stable. Rather than a wood or a stone structure, it was probably just a cave dug into the hillside. Being the abode of cattle and camels, there would have been nothing attractive about it. Its stench would have rose high up into the heavens. And yet, despite its lowliness and its uncleanness, the Lord Jesus did not turn away, but he entered. And praise God, no heart is too common or too corrupt for Christ to enter. He came not to call the righteous, but my sinners unto himself. In fact, he said in Luke chapter 5 in the verse 32, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And none are too defiled to be delivered. He longs to enter even into the most corrupt and depraved heart. The devil, one occasion coming to the great reformer Martin Luther, he said to Luther, "Luther, thou art a great sinner and will be damned." Turning to him, Martin Luther said, "Thou sayest I am a great sinner. That is true, but it does not follow that I will be damned, because it is written, Christ came to save sinners." You see, the message of Christmas is one of hope. None are too defiled to be delivered. You say, "Preacher, you wouldn't say that if you knew my heart, the wicked thoughts that are within. You wouldn't say that if you knew the places I have been and the things that I have done." But how could the hands that were pierced for sinners ever turn you away? It matters not your past. If only you come to Christ, willing to turn from your sin and look away to the cross, he will accept you. But I think also we notice the praise. Entering into the manger, we read in the verse 7, "She brought forth her firstborn son." Being her firstborn, his birth no doubt would have brought to her great joy. Setting her heart aflame, we later find the shepherds entering into the same abode. Beholding the Saviour there lying in swaddling clothes, they also burst into praise. You see, his joy, birth brought great joy into this place. And the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the heart, he not only brings cleansing, but it also brings cheer. It fills the heart with joy. Indeed, Luke tells us in Acts chapter 8 that such was the joy of the new converts in the city of Samaria that it not only filled them, but flowing over, it filled the entire city. You see, real joy is not an outside job, but as an inside job. It comes from inviting Christ into the heart. Lisa Lester, in order to get her name in the Guinness Book of Records, she smiled for 10 hours and 5 minutes. In so doing, she broke the old record of 7 hours and 32 minutes. But while she smiled for many hours, there came a time when she ceased to smile. Christ gives a joy that not only fills the heart in good times, but also in bad times. And if you want joy, real joy, lasting joy, then let Christ come into your heart. My, he will bring great joy. Real joy is not defined in the pleasures of sin. Those joys come and then they go. It's to be found in Christ alone. But lastly, we notice here the place, the angel bursting into song. We read in verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Declaring the purpose of the incarnation, the angel said it was to bring peace. And as such, the Lord Jesus, being born into this manger, he brought great peace. You see, the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ only brings pardon, but it brings peace. Peace that passeth all understanding. Indeed, the psalmist resting in Christ and in him alone, he said in Psalm 4 in the verse 8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. So great was the peace that he had in his heart that although his enemies were breathing down his neck, yet laying down his head, he went to sleep. No wonder Paul talks about peace that passes all understanding. You see, while getting saved does not banish the storms, it brings peace in the storms. It stills the heart. Francis Ridley Havergal wrote, stayed upon Christ Jesus, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. And in Christ, there is not only peace with God, but there is the peace of God. Peace that remains in the storms of life and the storms of death. Are you this Christmas searching for peace? You'll not find it in the pleasures of sin or in the accomplishments of men, but it's found only in Christ. In him, there is peace and peace alone. You know, one of the great czars of Russia frequently visit the towns and cities of his kingdom in incognito to see how his subjects fared. On one occasion, dressing as a peasant, he went to an inn and asked for a room. The innkeeper refusing him a room, he said, there are many of the king's nobles in this inn tonight, and there's no room for a peasant like thee. Unknowingly, he was rejecting his king. And as Christ, who is King of kings and Lord of lords, comes to your heart tonight, will you let him in? He was cradled in a manger. His own angels sung the hymn of rejoicing at his coming, yet there was no room for him. And I wonder, do you have any room for Christ in your heart and in your life? If not, even now, as the Lord Jesus would knock upon your heart, through his word, will you open your heart, turn from your sin, and invite the Lord Jesus Christ in to be your Saviour? If only you do, then you will know his peace, you'll know his presence, and you can know his prosperity.
For the baby at Bethlehem's inn, only a cattle shed. No room on this earth for the dear Son of God. Nowhere to lay his head. Lord, only a boy. borrowed tomb. Today he is seeking a place in your heart. Will you still say to him, no room? Oh Lord, in my heart there's a welcome for thee. Gladly I now would say, come in, blessed Savior, my heart and my life. Henceforth would own thy sway. Long hast thou waited, and long knocked in vain. Outside my heart's closed door, oh, cleanse me from sin. Then, dear Lord, enter in and dwell there forevermore. And dwell there forevermore.
We'll pray. Gracious Lord, we thank thee for the presentation of thy glorious gospel again tonight. We think of the hymn, Thou camest, O Lord, as the living word, to set thy people free. But with mocking scorn and crown of thorn, they led thee to Calvary. But we thank thee that chorus goes, Now come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. And we pray that prayer will be offered tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you again for tuning to our program this evening. You'll be happy, like me, to hear of a free offer. And this is it. Anybody who would like some good gospel literature or a copy of God's Word, the Bible, along with some guidelines as to how to get the most value out of reading that Bible, simply send a little message by email or by text. We'd be delighted to hear from you. The quiz question for the children, of course. What colour was Helen's coat and the braiding on her hat? Hopefully your screen will render this accurately, or, well, this could be controversial. Please send your answer through to me by Facebook, that's the Martyrs, or my own page, or by WhatsApp. See you tomorrow night.